just get started, this talk will be about hacking your dreams with a Walzer of Belgas. The stage is yours.
Wow. Thank you very much, and good morning everybody here for being up early, and people on the stream as well. So I'm talking today about hacking your dreams. I normally talk about technical subjects, but I'm not really an expert in psychology, for instance, but I did a lot of research on the subject, so I think I can say some interesting stuff about it. So who am I? Walzer Belgas. I'm a guy, I like to talk about stuff at different kinds of conferences. Talked about a bunch of them, and this time the topic is a bit different for me, hacking your dreams. And of course, you all know what hacking means. Hacking is doing something interesting, a project, just for the fun of the project, doing something interesting. And today we're going to hack our dreams. And what is a dream? Well, one of the definitions of dreams that I found online is it's an immersive spatio-temporal hallucination. And I thought it was a nice way of saying what a dream is. But to dive into it a little bit more deeply, I will not go into why we dream. That's still under debate a little bit, why the human has dreams or animals. But I do want to talk a little bit about what we dream about, which is apparently quite the topics that we dream about are shared by a lot of people. A lot of people dream about the same kinds of things, like these ones. And there are many more of these kinds of dreams, of course. But what are the dream characteristics, really? These are some of the things that are associated with dreams. It has a first-person perspective. You are dreaming the dream. It's not subject to control. Stuff is happening to you in the dream. The content is very often illogical. Weird things happen in your dream. The content includes people who interact with you outside of yourself. So there is other people doing stuff in your dreams. And it provokes strong emotions. You do not typically dream about your everyday life, sitting in the office doing basic stuff. It's always about something that provokes emotions. It's often novel worlds, and it contains often elements of your day life in the dream, elements. It's not completely a copy. And this, not subject to control, that is what we're going to hack. We are going to want to be able to control our dreams. And that is what is called lucid dreaming, actually. And there are several levels of lucidity in your dream, which is several levels of how aware you are that you are dreaming. But let's dive into the history a little bit. Lucid dreaming is known for a long time. In the 1850s or so, Marquis d'Harvey de Saint-Denis wrote a book about it. He didn't dare write it under his own name. He used a pseudonym. And then in 1913, Frederick van Eeden, a Dutch guy, he also wrote a book about his own dreams. It was called A Study of Dreams, in which he described lucid dreaming. So it's been known for quite a long while. But I don't know who of you knows about lucid dreaming. A lot of you. Who has had lucid dreams? Very good. Yeah. So let's zoom first in into the sleeping part. We all sleep, and what happens in your sleep? If you look at Wikipedia, they'll show you this graph. So in your sleep, your time of sleep, you go through different phases, and they repeat. They're often like 90 minutes long, repeating. And you go through from awakening through different stages, going to light sleep and deeper sleep. So those are 90-minute waves. And there's one stage which is called REM sleep, rapid eye movement sleep, where your eyes start to move rapidly while you sleep. And that is where most dreams occur. And these stages get longer when you are closer to the waking up point. So later in your night, the chances of having a dream are higher. And you also see that you could have some brief awakenings in your dream. So you dream, you wake up, and then you quite quickly fall asleep again. This is not completely true. We have new insight that we know now that a brain can actually be partly in one state, partly in another state. So it's not as digital or binary as it is in this schematic. One part of the brain can be in a slightly different phase than the other part of the brain. By the way, it's interesting, this is my brain. I took an MRI scan and I was able to make a 3D printed copy of my actual brain. So the REM sleep is where the dreams mostly happen, because actually it's also possible, but rare, that you have a dream in another dream state. But typically people say you have dreams in REM sleep, and REM sleep, as I said, is rapid eye movement, your eyes move. And what's typical is that you have dreams, and also you have decreased muscle tone. You are unable to move, except for your eyes, and of course your heart still keeps pumping. But you cannot really move. And you have a lot of brain activity. During the sleep, during the dreams, the brain activity is similar to what you experience during your waking life. And there's a part of the brain, I cannot really pinpoint it, but it has a difficult name, the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex, so it's somewhere on the front, that gets disabled. And that part of the brain you use to do critical thinking. And that is, people believe, one of the reasons that when in your sleep you experience really weird stuff, you don't question it. Because that part of the brain that does the questioning, which I think is very well evolved in all of us hackers, of course, is shut down a little bit. And so dreams in this phase, but also in other phases possible. Now, what's the difference between a dream and a lucid dream? A dream, you have a normal surrounding. It's often, it's very emotional, and you're not in control. And in a lucid dream, you are in control. You know that you're dreaming. Lucid dreams are mostly positive. You get a positive feeling out of them. And also people report that they find a lucid dream more realistic. So you have the impression that all the color and the sounds are sharper. It's more like the HD version of the regular dream. Also, in a dream, you have no self-reflection, and it's not very memorable. Many people do not remember all of their dreams, or even just a few. And the lucid dreams are much more memorable, also because you're in control, and you can self-reflect. In your lucid dream, you can smell, hear, see stuff. Actually, what you see, as I said, is very realistic, but you can also hear things in your dream, and you can also smell and taste in your dream. So you don't smell real things, but you smell things that you see in your dream, and you smell them, and you can smell them. But most people report that smelling and tasting is less than in real life. Feeling, yes, you can feel things in your dream, but it's really hard for some reason to feel pain in a dream. So I don't know, many of you have said you have had lucid dreams, so maybe you have experience with this. If in a dream you try to hurt yourself, it's really hard. And I've never felt any pain in my lucid dreams. Actually, people did go as far as to try and kill somebody in a dream, or to commit suicide in a dream. And for some reason, the brain really doesn't want this to happen, so you really have to be very strong-willed to do so, and of course you need to make very sure that you are actually dreaming. But this is really, really hard. So pain and these things are not really typical for lucidity. Lucidity, lucid dreams, hacking your dreams, meaning you are in control, you know that you are dreaming. Well, actually, the official definition is you know that you are dreaming. So if you are in a dream and you think, oh, wait, this is a dream, then you have a lucid dream. But still, there are several levels that you can go through. There can be, it can be that just you are aware that you're dreaming, but still stuff happens at random. But you can have multiple levels of control. So if you are fully lucid, that means that you are aware that you're dreaming. You are aware that everybody that you see in your dream was made up by your own mind. You know that all the objects that you see were created by yourself. You know that the laws of physics do not hold. And you also know that you are actually at the same moment lying in your bed having that dream. And if you have all these, then you have a full lucid dream. Normally, you are in your own body, from your own standpoint, so it's like being in real life, but it is actually possible, I've never experienced this, it is possible that you dream through the eyes from a different body, that in your dream you have a different body. So I don't know, are there any people that have experienced that? Yeah, oh cool, I need to talk to you afterwards, that's very interesting, even more, yeah, cool. So I don't know how much control you have over what kind of body you are in, but that, yeah, that makes this very interesting. Although it is your brain that is creating the lucid dream, and you have control over it, you don't have full control. That's a bit weird, because apparently you cannot tell your own brain to do some things. So it's very, very hard to say in your dream, I want to be at Y2025. And then suddenly you are there. That's not how it works in the lucid dream. You can wish for to be there, and then maybe some elements will get incorporated in your current dream. So if you dream, if you say to yourself, I want to see an elephant, then maybe the flower pot may change into a trunk of an elephant. Something weird might happen that has something to do with it, but it's really hard to set the complete scene. There are some tricks, and I will be talking about how to get into a lucid dream later on for those people that want to experiment. But if you are in a lucid dream, what you can do is you can make a drastic scene change by turning on and off the light in your dream, trying to do so, or by closing your eyes and imagining that you are going to go somewhere else. What I like to do is to figure there is a door, and then most cases it appears. So you go through the door and you hope that behind the door is the other scene. Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. So what do we do if you are in a lucid dream? Well, you can do actually anything you like. There is no physical laws. So so that's the fun part. You can fly. Or maybe you want to see a deceased grandparent. Of course, you know that you're not seeing the real grandparent, but it might be a very nice experience to do so anyway. Or just have a blank mind and think, well, let's see what happens, what my mind comes up with. There's also been some research about sex, and apparently that's very hard to do, but some people report that they were able to do so. Now, this cortex that makes sure that your muscles don't work that well, that you cannot do the critical thinking, they also make it hard thus to do reasoning and logic. It's hard to read or to do math in a dream. So I, being a nerd, I know a lot of decimals of pi, and I thought in my dream, let's see how many decimals I can recite in my dream. And it was a lot less than I could do in real life, and it took a lot of effort. So you'll find that if you do arithmetic in your dream, it's a lot of strain. You don't want to do so, because that part of your brain is not really working that much. And we can use this to become lucid, and I'll show you how. If you want to become lucid, it really rarely happens by itself. It does happen. Research shows that everybody, out of all people, I have to check my numbers, about 55% of the people have a lucid dream at least once in their lifetime. And about a quarter of the people have lucid dreams regularly. It could also happen after a false awakening. A false awakening is that you think you wake up, but you are actually still dreaming. And if you realize that that is the case, that is lucidity. You understand, I am still in a dream. And in most cases, that dream then abruptly ends, and you get back to the real reality. But that's also a way to get lucid. But the best is to do some training to evoke those lucid dreams. Now, there are several techniques to do so. The first one, well, it helps to know that there is such a thing as lucid dreaming. All right, so now you know about it and you think about it. Actually, also preparing a talk about lucid dreaming helps because it's in your mind a lot. That makes it easier to question dreams. So if you say every time to yourself, the next dream I dream will be a lucid dream, the chances are that at one point in time, but it may take a few months, that will happen. Actually, that's how I started with it. It was many years ago, almost 40 years ago, I read about it, and I used this technique, and it took me like 3 or 4 months, and then I was actually able to have a lucid dream. And this is called MILD, mnemonic induction of lucid dreams. So by thinking about it constantly, it's in your brain, it's like an earworm, and then hopefully it will work. Technique 2 is to check continuously, so I could check now, for instance, if I'm dreaming. And if you make that a habit, so every day, continuously you do these checks, then you will also do these checks when you are dreaming, and then you know, I'm dreaming. So that's called reality testing. And there are several ways to do so. So one way is to try to fly. So I could, well, apparently I'm not dreaming because it didn't work. You could also try to walk through a wall. And if that works, you also know that you're dreaming. But of course, it's a bit weird to try and fly every day, every 10 minutes. So what you can also do is to turn on and off the lighting, because that does work in real life, but it doesn't work in your lucid dream. So that's less invasive. Or you can do these things. Every time when you go into a next room, think where you came from. If you know what room you came from, you are not sleeping. But if you can't remember because that's where the dream started, you know, this is a dream. This is one that I used to use. As I told you, reading and mathematics is really hard when you're dreaming. And in a dream, you cannot really read well. If you have a newspaper in the dream, you can read something. But if you read it then again, it will say something differently. So what you can do is you can read something. So I read technique, I look away, technique, this is not a dream. If this were a dream, it would have said something different the second time. You can also use it with your watch. You look at the time twice. If it is the same time, then you are in reality. That works really well, and it's easy to do, and also invasive as the walking through the door. Some people have reported success with trying to push a finger through their hand. In a dream, the finger will go right through the hand. I tried this when I was in a dream. You can actually put your finger through your hand, and you don't feel any pain. It's really weird. You can have a timer that every hour gives you a signal to check. And another tip is that whenever you hear yourself thinking, am I in a dream? You are in a dream. So when you question yourself of being in a dream, you are. Technique number three, and that's a little bit more work, but it's quite successful. That's wake bed to bed, which is you set a timer to wake up in your REM sleep. So that's after about 6 hours of sleep, you get through these phases where you have more dreams. You set an alarm, so you wake up, hopefully in the middle of a dream. And then what you do is you think about the dream that you were just awoke from, and you focus on getting lucid. So that's wake back to bed, including the technique of thinking about lucid dreams. And that has quite a good success rate. And that is what also is used in research for people who go to sleep laboratories to try and get a dream that way. And they report a success rate of about 50%. Because, of course, if you go to a laboratory to do research on lucid dreaming, it's better if people have lucid dreams that night, because otherwise it's no use. Then this is a pro technique. What you can do is you can, when you go to sleep, try to keep self-awareness. So you go into the sleep, and when you are then still self-aware, you can become lucid directly. This has never worked for me, but other people have been able to do so. And there are also some techniques like yoga nidra, dream yoga, that are based on this way of getting lucid. And then there's, of course, techniques using electronics, and we are all hackers. So years ago, I built this dream machine from the Brain Machine by Mitch Altman, here also on the train. And this is actually a machine to change the wavelengths in your brain, not necessarily to get lucid dreams. You can check the glasses out later if you like. But nowadays we have these commercial products that work a little bit similarly. Sometimes they have electrodes that try to see if you are in the REM sleep because you have this rapid eye movement. They will give a signal to you, audible or via electroshocks. And the idea is that's the reality test that makes you figure out that you are in a dream. These are quite expensive, and I'd say the techniques that I showed you before work just as well, if not better. So I would recommend using the techniques where you don't need to use these devices, because that's just a money pit. Then substances, are there any substances that you can use? Yes, there has also been research in that. And actually there's this little flower that is used to create a medicine against Alzheimer's disease, and that apparently also has an effect on lucid dreaming. It's not that you take the stuff and that you immediately have lucid dreams, but if you give people a dose of, I think it was 8 milligrams of this medicine, in combination with Bake Back to Bed and the MILD induction techniques, if you combine all of those, you have a very high chance of getting lucid dreams. And the galantamine also prolongs the dreams. Actually, it prolongs the dream state anyway. So, remaining lucid, that's another issue. So first we need to become lucid, but if that happens, you're in a dream. And sometimes I had this in the beginning, I woke up really quickly because you're really excited and then you want to keep on being lucid and then you lose it and you wake up. So here are some tips from literature that you can use to keep in that dream. If you feel that it's slipping away, what you can do is you can focus on your hands or rub your hands or look on your feet. And you can spin around. And that apparently seems to work in keeping your dream lucid. Another interesting thing is that in lucid dreams, well, the question is, can you communicate with people in lucid dreams? Can we have two-way communication? So there has also been research in that. Yes, you can communicate outwards by moving your eyes. So if in the dream you move your eyes left, right, then you actually are moving your eyes that way. So you can communicate anything to the researcher that's looking at your eyes. The other way, getting the message in, is a bit more difficult. So speech doesn't work well. People have to also try it with electroshocks. It's hard. But you can give somebody an assignment, and when they get into a lucid dream, they remember the assignment from their waking life, and they can do it and communicate back with their eyes. So that's about dreams, really. But there are many more states, I found out, that are brain states that are closely related to lucid dreams, or dreaming in general, but can be a little bit different. And these are the main variables in that. The brainstem activity, high or low, cortical arousal, that means are you in an aroused state, are you like stressed, hyper, or are you in a low state, are you really calm and relaxed? That's one differentiator. The sleep stage, are you awake? Are you in a light sleep? Are you in the REM sleep phase? Do you have the ability to move or not? And are you in your mind? Are you like internal in your mind? Or are you, as I am now, I am in my body? Or are you outside your body looking at yourself? And you could create a matrix with all of these variables, and you get all kinds of different states. One of them is the false awakening, but that we discussed already before. So this is, you think you're woken up, but actually you haven't woken up. So you're still asleep, and that can happen multiple times. So you could wake up, and then wake up again, and then wake up again. Of course, if you wake up and you don't know if you've really woken up, you can do the tests I described before. You can read something and you can quickly check if you're awake or not. This is mostly a negative experience. This is something people do not want to try to experience. Then there's the waking dream. So this is actually having a dream, but not being in a dream state. And it's a symptom of narcolepsy. That's where you find it. But also it happens in the transition from wake to sleep. So if you pay close attention next time you fall asleep, what is happening, sometimes you might get hypnagogic hallucinations. I often have those, so you start seeing things or hear things, but you are not yet really fully asleep. And I think the Tetris effect is also like a hypnagogic hallucination, so you are falling asleep, and when you are falling asleep, you see this computer game that you've played all day, you see the images as a hallucination before your eye. So it's like dreaming when awake. Now then we have sleep paralysis. That's a nasty thing. That often happens when you are going out of the REM sleep, where your body is paralyzed, because in the REM sleep, you don't have muscle tone, or decreased muscle tone. But sometimes you get out of REM, but the decreased muscle tone is still there. And that might be quite scary, because you can get hallucinations, or you can also have dreams. And maybe in the dream, you dream that you are completely paralyzed. And you feel that you have a hard time breathing. So that can be a very negative thing. And this has been known for a long time as well. So in the olden days, they had paintings like this, and you see a monkey sitting on the person. And that's what they said. It's like you have this monkey on your chest that prevents you from breathing. But it was actually sleep paralysis. Hallucination is also a little bit like a dream, like it's not reality. It's visuals that you create. It's also not under direct control, hallucination. Hallucination is normally not lucid. And sometimes people realize it's hallucination, but very often they do not. Or it takes a while before they understand it is a hallucination. These can also be induced with chemical substances. And it's also one of the things that is associated a bit with schizophrenia. But it's not necessarily connected. I mean, you can have hallucinations. Anybody can have hallucinations. It's also people that suffer from Alzheimer or migraine that can have hallucinations like this. And actually, also people not suffering from migraine or Alzheimer or any of these things report hallucinations at least once in their life. Then, known from spiritualism, is the out-of-body experience. This can actually have a very positive effect on people. Many people that report an out-of-body experience are really looking back to that in a very positive manner. Many people report them, but this is something you cannot train. Lucid dream you can train, but an out-of-body experience you cannot train. It just can happen. If you are in an OBE, you are outside of your body, and your body is present, or it is blurred, or in a cloud. And often while lying down, but not always, this is also known for a long time, it can happen either in high or low cortical arousal. So I told you, you can have the brainstem very active when you are like stressed, or it can be very low, the cortical arousal, when you're very relaxed. So that's why you can have these out-of-body experience when you are relaxed lying down. That's maybe in the hospital, well, maybe not there, because then you're stressed. But if you're really calm and relaxed, this can happen, you float away. Or when you're very stressed, so that could be in the hospital, but there have also been cases described where people were in a job interview that was very stressful, and then suddenly you see yourself sitting in a job interview, or people falling, or people jumping out of a plane with a parachute, and that stress level causes them to get an out-of-body experience. So it's different from a lucid dream. In a lucid dream, you always have this cortical arousal. You are on, so to speak, but you cannot move. In an OBE, you can move. So here's a little bit of the matrix. We have lucid dreams, talked about false awakenings, out-of-body experiences, waking dreams. An apparition is that you is a bit like hallucination, where you see something. You see a ghost appearing in your room. That's an apparition. By the way, I see people making pictures of the slides, so I will put a link up at the end so you can download all the slides and look at this at your leisure. Oh, I'm actually doing quite good on time. Cool. So I'll have time for questions. So in the lucid dream, you have a complete insight, and that's not in the other ones. Also interesting is the time scale. Lucid dreams often last quite a short amount of time. And that same goes for lucid dreams. Now, I also, and this is by no means, how should I say it, definite. I mean, I just wrote down some of the stuff I talked about. And I thought, oh, it's interesting, because from the awake state, you could get hallucinations, and you can have them unaware, become aware, then you can get back to the awake state. You can fall asleep, you have these hypnagogic hallucinations. You can then get into a dream state where you don't know that you're dreaming. Then you can maybe become aware. From the dream state, you can get the sleep paralysis, where you are still in a dream, but your body is still not moving. Your body is not moving. You can get to the false awakenings, etc. So there's a quite complex spectrum of different states there. Then, pros and cons. Are there pros and cons to lucid dreaming? Well, there is one that is being mentioned, and that is that it can be used to control or stop nightmares. Nightmares is something that happens mostly with younger people. And you can use lucid dreaming to become aware in the nightmare and stop the nightmare. So I've read this case of a little girl who had recurring nightmares about sharks. And she was, I believe, 7 years old, and she was told by an aunt, well, next time you see a shark, you should realize that that's just a dream, and it's not a real shark. And the next time she had a nightmare, she did realize it was a fake shark, and she sat on top of the shark and rode with it through the water. And it was no longer a nightmare. So that can help. But the downside is that if you try to become lucid to get rid of your nightmares and it doesn't work, that can be even more frustrating if it doesn't work. I think it's just a cool thing to experiment with, because in your lucid dream you can do anything you like. So that's really, it's just really cool. It's a hack. And it's positive, right? But you could also maybe use it for sports. So we know now that a lot of top sporting people, they practice what they do in their sport, the physical activity, they practice mentally, right? So you can think about what you need to physically do, and that will also trigger the parts in your brain that are responsible for moving your body, and that will actually have a positive effect. So you can train for physical stuff without doing it physically. Well, you could also do that then in your dream. So if you are dreaming and you want to run the marathon, you can try and run a marathon in your dream, and that will actually help your physical body getting better at it. It's also used for treatment of phobias, PTSD, which is nice. Or you could even use it for things like practicing stuff, social skills. I mean, it doesn't have to be sports. If you think you have a problem with speaking for a large group of people, you could try to do this in your lucid dream and practice. And you can just create, hopefully, your group of people. So it's not just that you start a lucid dream and you think, I'm in a hall with people. No, you probably need to work a little bit and use the tricks that I mentioned, like I'll go through this door and hopefully there's the Y conference with a room of people that I can speak to, and then hopefully it will appear. If not, try again. And then you can train your speaking ability. So the cons, no, there are not really many cons, apart from what I told you about the fact that if it doesn't work to stop your nightmares, that might be an issue. The only other con I could imagine is that you somehow lose detachment with life and think that everything is a dream. But as I told you, I can check and I know this is not a dream. So that's already the talk. So I actually have a lot of time for questions. That's good. I have a bibliography, but I'll skip that because you can download that from the slides. So cool, we have a lot of time. Thank you. The QRs are the same.